Blog Talk Radio.
Today on this gorgeous, gorgeous fall day, finally, it's no longer that oppressive heat and humidity. What about you down there, down in Nashville, Miss Cynthia?
Well, we're going to get a little bit of rain, but we actually need some rain here now, so it's not that big a deal.
I don't mind the rain. I just don't, because it's right now it's cool and the rain is not cold. You know, it's not that bleak, and we do need it, and that's fine. But the thing that was bothering me was, of course, during the summer was the humidity. That just drives mm-hmm. it right up.
I call that the smell of the South, May. See, down here, once it starts getting humid, it smells like mossy, and it's the smell of the South. But I know fall's on its way because my first tenant for the winter checked in, the mice that I, me living out in the country, and the two cats that live with me just kind of watched it run by, and I think one of them actually pointed to it, like I should go get it,
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's coming.
I remember when you picked up the one that my cat dealt with, so you said, oh, it's this one. No, I'm not touching him. You were good with it, not me. Did you read my post? I mean, I'm on... For people out there, if you see some of my postings, this weekend I went to a dinner, and Pat, my girlfriend couldn't make it, but her husband was gone to the dinner, so the two of us were taking the subway. And if you've never taken the subway in New York, it's an experience. Well, it was one of those experiences again, and it was as the train pulls in, we're going home after dinner. Thank God it was after dinner. As the train pulls in, I see all these people. It's just packed. And then this one car is empty. You know something is wrong once you've seen empty car. And when everybody else is packed. And all of a sudden, I see the nakedness of one person standing there. And I went,
oh
my God, no. And I run. And Tim, turns around and goes, where is she going? Realizing then he sees it, and he says, oh, my God. So we run to the next train, and everybody's there. And, listen, I felt bad. I just didn't want anybody to pull the chain and make it an emergency because then you're
mm-hmm.
stuck in a tunnel. If anybody has half a brain, you've got to wait till you go to a station. Now, the woman in the end, it was terrible. I mean, she was peeing and pooping on the floor and everything, and everybody was on either side. And then there's a couple of fools that sat in the train with her. Anyway.
But you know what I love about New Yorkers, May? What I love about New Yorkers, me being one, is that we actually have the thought process of, don't pull a chain. We need to get to the station so we can all get out so they don't stop us in the tunnel.
They did that a few weeks ago for something else, and they got stuck on the bridge for a long time, a couple of hours. So the whole idea of it is, if you can wait till you get to a station, then if they're stopped, you then can get off and let them deal with whatever was dealing. So we had been there for 10, 20 minutes already, and somebody had told the conductor, and so now everybody was stuck there for another 20 minutes, and I said, I just got out, and Tim and I just took a Lyft car service home, and it was great. It was my first time trying to use the Lyft, and got a nice guy named Robert to pick us up, and I went home. But the thing is, if anybody thought about it, if we waited even to the next train stop, which would have been the police and the hospital was right there, obviously this person needed help. So it was like.
But still funny, though, that was a thought process. I mean, I love that. Don't pull the thing. We've got to make it to the next station.
But, after reading
crazy
about
at the next at the station. She's not going to be uncrazy by then. So.
Yeah, well, you know what? You don't want that person, because even though it's an emergency, and they say that, But if you pull it right then and then, the train stops, it's got to stay there. So if you're over the bridge for 2 hours, that's not a good place to go. I mean, it wouldn't be good for her either.
It wouldn't be good for her either, because then they got, So
they
got
to find a way to get onto the bridge to get you off the bridge. So the idea is to wait
never
for a station with
a dull moment. Yeah. Never a dull moment in that dirty old city. I love her. I love her.
The night before, I was very happy to see the bride and groom, Maddie Amendola, my favorite little kid, and his lovely bride, Kim. And so they were gorgeous. They both were very – of course, he was late to the dinner. It was a little small dinner that the parents were throwing, like 12 people. And I said, where's Maddie? Oh, he's waiting for his iPhone 7 to come. I said, iPhone 7? He's getting the iPhone 7? My ears perked up. So there you go.
Of course, your ears perked up. I'd be like, where's the appetizers? Well, anyway, we have a great guest today, and on this eve of our first great debate, where I don't know, I have such low expectations because I don't think our road can get any lower. This chap, he's one of our. We have a category called the overachievers, and certainly this gentleman qualifies. Let's see. Let's go down the list, May. Author, TV personality, critic. Rolling Stone magazine editor, and I have a good question for him about that, and New York Times journalist Anthony DeCurtis. And he is with us here today live while we all can still talk and aren't screaming and banging our heads against a wall. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Anthony, come back on.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's a hard act to follow, that introduction and your discussion about the subways in New York, but I'll do my best here.
I mean, you know what it's like. You live here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And,
it's
been years.
A very apt description. And that thing of, people who pull the, that lever
to
stop the train, that does nobody any good. I mean, if there's any danger, it just means you're now in the tunnel, locked in the car with whoever's causing the problem, rather than letting it arrive at the station and, you can get some help.
Exactly.
True,
and that was so my whole thought process when I saw this, please let's make us to a station that will give us some help. If you live in New York, there's certain stations, you could be out in the middle of nowhere, and that's not the place you want to even stop. You want to be at a place where, I mean, it still took so long for the EMS and the police and everybody to show up. I mean, it took it took the 10 minutes for the one conductor to think about calling for help. So that's just
did he wait until she had to relieve herself?
She had already
moment?
Relieved
I mean,
herself. I don't know. She was laying on the floor, the poor thing. And, God only knows. I didn't see her face, but somebody said she looked like in her 30s. And this is New York, and this is the facts of life. And, she must have been on something. But, again, it's like I don't know what this guy was waiting for. Well, did you call? If I had seen that, I would have called immediately, get somebody down here, get and make an announcement to everybody who was on the train. Everybody in the front, like the several cars in front and the several cars in back, didn't know what was going on. They're just sitting there, and everybody in the middle next to this car on either side knew exactly what was happening, and it was just awful, It really was awful, that bit. So that was my excitement for Saturday evening. So now we have more excitement. now we're going to have more excitement with tonight's debate. And Streisand did a parody, of a song called "Sending the Clowns." So from a fundraiser the other night. So everybody can go onto YouTube and watch it if they want. Let's see it.
Well, I've got an interesting question, Anthony, because certainly, your years as an editor and as a journalist, and the media, and we consider ourselves part of the media too, so we're part of the problem and the solution. The media has been taking such a hit about poor reporting practices, not fact-checking, and actually extending themselves beyond the boundary of what good journalism appears to be, to where it seems like the National Enquirer is a more reliable news source. Now, what's your feeling on that, or do you think that's hype too?
No, I mean, I think that the criticism of the media is accurate. I mean, I think that I mean, the term that people have been using is false equivalence. Think, you know, look, I mean, Hillary Clinton obviously has her problems, but, you know, there's been such a consistency of lies and distortions and simply just things made up out of whole cloth on the Trump side that to say, oh, they both do it, I think is, or in some sense trying to be quote-unquote objective in rendering that stuff is problematic. Now, the thing about fact-checking, I think, is a different problem. I mean, I think, you know, like when Matt Lauer, for example, was really interviewing both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, you know, talking to them separately, they weren't debating. I think fact-checking in a situation like that is important. I mean, I think you have to say, you know, that didn't happen, or you didn't do that, or, you know, we factually know that that isn't what occurred. In a debate, I think that's harder. I mean, I think that in a certain sense, you know, it's up to the candidates, you know, to do a lot of that. And if you're in there constantly saying, you know, well, that's not so, or, you know, you didn't really, you're not necessarily getting, you know, the reporters in there as fully as the candidates then. And are you really getting a sense of who they are? And I think, I mean, I almost wish there wasn't a moderator tonight. I almost wish that they could just, you know, Hillary Clinton. I mean, that was, somebody told me that the Nixon-Kennedy debates were like that. And, you know, right in the 19th century, the Lincoln-Douglas debates were like that, where you just have them talk and have them talk one against the other. And then we don't have any sense of mediation. You have a sense of, okay, you're listening to one and you're listening to the other. They can correct each other or, you know, just kind of battle it out. And, you know, you'd have a sense then, I think, of a clearer sense of, you know, who it is that you're supporting or not supporting.
Well, the only problem I with that, especially in this case, the way it's going, it's almost like who's louder and who's going to be able to do it. You know, it's not that I wouldn't like that, but back in the days of the Nixon-Kennedy campaign, there was still a little more, you know, being civilized, letting the other person.
Decorum, yeah.
And now it's like one's just jumping at the other and this. So no one's going to hear anything. So they definitely need a moderator to hold them back and say, okay.
Well, I think, I think that if somebody, I think we're both, obviously, Donald Trump is more likely to be, you know, doing the shouting and bullying, really. And, you know, in a case where there's, you know, a dozen people on the stage, you know, you can get away with that. If you're standing there, and I think particularly if he's standing there with a woman and behaving that way, I think that people are going to read that. I mean, if people are going to see that and see it for what it is. You know, I think he's in a situation like that is almost you know, I think that's a big risk for him if he's perceived as, you know, when he did it to Carly Fiorina in the Republican debates, it really bounced back at him. People didn't like it. They don't like to see a woman getting pushed around.
Well, you know, I almost wish that they could just ask them yes or no questions. You can only answer yes or no. That's it. Don't extract. Just answer yes and no. Yeah. Are you pro-choice? Are you pro? Answer yes or no. And then afterward, let them debate the issue. Because honestly, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not an idiot, but I'm so confused as to what the campaign is on either side because they're both so caught up. And I'm disappointed that she played into that because she didn't in the beginning, and then she got dragged into it. And it's like, stop. Let's just – don't talk about him. I don't want to hear you talk about him. I don't want to hear him talk about you. Or if he's stupid enough to do that, let him be stupid. You just talk to me and tell me what your plan is to get this nation back on track. What's your plan? And how are you going to do it? And is it going to cost me money? Because I'm really kind of pissed off, Anthony, right now at the healthcare system. So, you know, I'm a victim of that, even though I think everybody should have healthcare. I had healthcare, but I had to reapply. And because I had a pre-existing condition, my thing tripled. So I got screwed, you know. So it's like, I don't know. If they could answer yes or no, I'd be happier. But they won't. And he'll be stupid.
No.
And it'll be,
I think it's, you know.
How many debates are they doing before
three.
The election? Three? Okay.
Three.
So who's moderating tonight?
Lester Holt from CNN.
Okay. Okay, Lester Holt.
Oh, I like Lester. Yeah.
Okay.
Anthony, did you ever have a moment in your journalism career, and I'm asking something personal, if you don't want to answer it, please, it's it, but did you ever release something and then have a cringeworthy moment where you wish, man, I wish I didn't write that, or if I could pull it back, I'd change it?
Of course I have. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing that, that's part of what journalism is about. You know, it's... it's kind of history on the fly. You know, you're doing the best you can at that moment. And then sometimes, you know, when you look back at it, you think like, oh man, you know, if I'd had a little bit more time to think about that, or if I, you know, hadn't overlooked this or that, I might've written that differently. Absolutely. So why do you ask? I'm just curious.
Well, no, it's just that I've read a lot of things from people who I considered great journalists, you know, and editorials and stuff, and I'm thinking, wow, you might have wanted to sit on that for a day and come back I guess maybe the real question I want to ask you is, do you think a journalist can be truly unbiased?
You know, I don't, to be honest.
No, I don't.
I mean, I think that, I think it's possible for journalists to be fair. And I think that's a different thing. I think pretending, you know, like there are journalists who, I mean, this is so idiotic. I mean, I can't stand it. But like there are journalists who don't vote and don't even register to vote because they don't want to seem like they have any kind of in what happened. Whereas that's ridiculous. You know, I think that you could be honest about where you're coming from and then fair to the opposing view. I think that, you know, your job is to, you know, fairly represent both positions. And I think that's, I think that's possible to do. But to pretend like I'm objective, it's like these juries, like, you know, something's been in the news every single day for 6 months. And, you know, suddenly they're looking for a jury of people who have no opinion about it. It's like,
yeah,
you have to,
I never saw anything about it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Is
like that's who you want on the jury? Like, to me, I'd like somebody who says, you know, yeah, well, based on what I've seen, you know, I do have some opinions about it, but I'm continuing to be open-minded. I believe in the judicial system. I could easily imagine that there's information that I don't have that I'll learn here, and I'll make the fairest decision I can make. I mean, I think that's what you're looking for, and those are kind of journalistic virtues as well. You know, I've got a lot of ideas about things, but... You know, when you walk into a room to interview someone, you're meeting an actual person. You're not meeting a magazine cover or a YouTube video or a song or, you know, an album or anything else. You know, you're meeting a human being who on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday is in a good mood or a bad mood or, you know, got their own lives. And the more that you could get just a little bit of empathy and understand, you know, who that person is, then, you know, you can, I think, render them. Now, you don't have to like them. You also, and if they're, you know, a jerk, and if their views are things that you disagree with, I think you could, you know, present that very clearly. But as long as you represent it fairly, you know, you don't turn them into a cartoon, and you don't parody them, and you don't, you know, make it a joke. You just, you know, this, you state it as clearly as you can, you know, with as full an understanding of that person as you can. And then if you need to refute it, you refute it as honestly as you can. And, you know, and then let your reader make up, his or her mind about what they're reading.
What do you think about people who say, I'm not going to vote like this year. You know, I've heard that from a lot of people. I'm not going to vote. I don't like either candidate.
That drives me
crazy. And I'm trying to explain to them, not voting is voting for somebody you may not have wanted to come in the first place. You got to vote on whatever side it is, you know. You got to do something.
There's something, I mean, my father, you know, my father never graduated from high school. You know, he was a working man, very much so, very working class. And, but he voted every election. He voted in every primary. He voted, you know, certainly in every, you know, major election. And whenever anybody would say to him, well, you know, what is one vote? What does one vote count for? He would just say, it takes two to beat it. And I always like
wow.
took that to heart. It's just like,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, two people have to show up to vote against what I'm going to vote for. And I, you know, look, sometimes you're really excited about the candidate. Sometimes you're not. But it's not like the government's going to stop, you know, if you don't go and vote. You know, it's like they're still going to be in there. And, you know, I do sometimes, you know, you're voting because you're voting out of your highest ideals and what you truly deeply believe in. And other times you're voting because you're voting for, you know, to use the term that people always use, you know, the lesser of two evils. You know,
right.
you
mm-hmm.
you feel like, well, okay, if this is my choice, I prefer this one. You know, it seems to me that's what life is like, you know, sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a situation where you get it exactly the way you want it, and other times you're doing the best you can. But I think you have to participate. I mean, that's,
yeah, I do
yeah.
too.
You know,
I mean, I've said that because if you have one friend that says I'm not going to do it, somebody else has one friend that says I'm not going to. That starts to add up to all of a sudden there's a whole big
mm-hmm.
pool of people.
May, I think it's going to be interesting to see what the voter percentage is. I think
yes.
that's probably the most interesting statistic I'm waiting to hear, because there's a lot of blowhards out on social media, and I wish, you know what I wish, Anthony? That on Facebook, as soon as you cast your vote, your profile on Facebook would light up. So you'd say, okay, I voted.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a pretty dark day. I'm not kidding, guys. I just think people like to hear themselves rant, and I'm ranting now, but you can hang up if you want.
Well,
Anthony, what's
I
going on in Anthony DeCurtis' world? What are you up to now these days?
I'm finishing my Lou Reed biography, which is, you know, taking me a while to do, but I'm within a week or two of wrapping it up, so I'm just very, very excited about that.
Oh, wow.
And,
how long have you been on it? How long have you been on that?
Well, he died in October of 2013, and I signed a book deal at the beginning of 2014, so I've been writing it since then, you know,
wow.
and oh, it's almost 3 years, but, you know, 3 years.
Right. Wow, that's going to be amazing. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's coming out pretty well, I think. I mean, my publisher, Little Brown, they're very excited about it, and I'm excited, and I'm happy with it so far. You know, I'm still writing a chapter, and you know, we're editing it, but I think it's going to be strong, and I think it's going to represent him well and his work.
Oh, wow.
And I think people who are interested in him are going to enjoy it. So
there's plenty.
Any idea what the release date is? Do you have any
yeah,
inkling?
It's going to be about a year from now. I mean, this is book publishing, so everything takes forever, but it'll be fall of 2017.
Wow. True. It takes a long time. People don't realize that. It's not,
yeah.
you know, if you don't want a tabloid feel,
well,
you're writing
that's
a
right.
book.
That's the
it
thing.
Does take time. I know
that. Well,
that
was, you know, one thing I, you know, when Lou, I mean, look, I mean, if anybody knows about Lou Reed's life, you know, some of it definitely lent itself to tabloid treatment, but that was one thing I just did not want to do. And I didn't want to be on some deadline where, like, well, in 6 months, if you turn it in, you know, then we'll, you know, have it for the holidays. And, you know, like, I just, you know, look, I said, I regard this guy as an important artist. I mean, to my
right.
mind, you know, Lou Reed ranks with Bob Dylan and Lennon and McCartney and Jagger and Richards. And, you know, he never sold as many records as those guys and Bob Dylan. But, he influenced as many artists as they did. And,
yes. Yes.
you know, I think it's important. You know, to figure out why that was and talk about what his life was like. So, and I have to say, my publisher was totally cool with that. And they
fantastic.
With
Thank
me.
God.
So
some publishers.
Exactly.
I know, because I know that one. It's like, can you get it out tomorrow? What?
Yeah,
you know?
Completely.
So it's that I'm glad that you stuck to your guns, because that's very important. And I am, you know, he was important at the time period, and it was sad that when he died, I mean, you know, I took some photos of him with, you know, it's a funny photo, actually. It's him head to head with the photographer Mick Rock looking at
his
eyes. Yeah, you know, things like that. I just they're important, and I was, you know, I saw him at a documentary on Doc Pomus, and like I said, it takes time. I hate those tabloid feel, as I put it. You know, this is not a photography book. This is not a, if you're talking about someone's life, you got to give it time. You don't want, you know, 2 minutes. It's worth more if you want him. See, obviously was, you know, because they asked you. You got it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm, he's got it. I mean, it's been a ride, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a complicated person and.
Absolutely.
You know. But I, you know, I'm happy with the way it's coming out. So it's one of those things. It's like, you know, a situation
well,
came through. I mean, I felt like I was swimming across the ocean, but, the shore is fine.
Well, we will love to have you back when the book is released for sure.
Oh, fantastic. I would love that.
Yeah. Promise. Well, guys, Anthony, we're going to let you go because I'm sure you need to fortify yourself for the rest of the day. eat your Wheaties. But please come back and talk to us about your book. We would love to have you back.
Oh, by all means. And thank you both. It's always such a pleasure to speak to the two of you.
Yeah, I hope to see you soon. I'll be in touch.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Then.
Take care, Anthony. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, I hope he goes to your party.
Yeah. It'll be fun. It's just, you know, it's interesting. I'm telling you, we're going to have a lot to talk about. I don't know. We can't get it in next. We'll have to try and save that time for the week after the election.
You know me, May. I'm very political, but I've kind of been chilling because it just – I have to go back on blood pressure medication now. I'm just so angry about the whole process of it. I feel like we have shown our collective asses on every side. And if you don't like who somebody's voting for or who's supporting, just disagree with them. But you don't have to start name-calling. And
I don't agree
and you
with
know
that
what?
Either. So, come, you know, you don't like it.
Like,
I mean, I took somebody off. I took somebody off because I couldn't stand it. They said, you don't know anything. I don't know anything.
Okay. Well,
I said, okay.
See, that's stupid.
When they start to go in that direction, I start going, zip, gone. I don't need it, especially on my own site, on my own Facebook.
No.
You don't like it. You can rant whatever you want to do on yours. Don't rant on mine. And I'm not asking you to. I'm putting out a statement. If you want to make a comment, I'm letting you. But I don't want negative. And I say this about, you know, the actor James Stacey had died recently. And I felt so bad because I went to his charity fundraiser because he lost an arm and a leg through a drunken driver. Okay? He was on a motorbike. The girlfriend got killed. And it was sad. It's been years of him, we know he went through hardship because everything happened after he had died. But the thing is, I did not need somebody to bring in that he was brought up on charges for certain things. I said, you know what? I understand we want the good and the bad. But this was done after his accident. This was not something he had a lifelong thing, and I did not want to bring that up because it was a result of something that happened that he couldn't act.
Well,
anyway.
I'm
going to
give you I'll give you an interesting James Stacey trivia thing. He worked in Epic too, doing some stunts, and I ended up doing the reshoots, and he was doubling a woman, and I ended up doubling him, doubling a woman in the reshoots.
That's so funny. That's funny. Okay, we're down to timing. That was funny.
We are.
Okay, we're down to timing.
All right,
I'm doing
Chiller isn't up for a bit yet. We're going to talk about it before it happens, right?
Yes.
What's coming up with you? You're doing Ken Daschau, right?
Ken Daschau, October 9th. I'm doing his Breakfast with the Beatles. I will be on. There's a way to win tickets, apparently, to get on. Can do that. I mean, I'll post that up. The other thing is, and then Chiller. And then I'll be there with Frida Kelly. And my favorite is the fact that Tim Curry is going to be there. Oh, my God. And I look forward
that.
To seeing him. Yeah.
Love I'm that.
Yeah.
Hoy. So. All right, Tutsula. Well, it sounds like you got a lot of stuff going on. I'm going now to take my nerve pills. And
and I will talk to you later.
See you when I see you.
Okay.
All right.
I'll see you, everyone.
Bang. And I'm Cynthia Nielsen.
Yeah, right. We got Richie Fure. So I'm excited. It's coming up.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome. So our big thanks to Anthony DeCurtis, and a big shout out to our guy, Gary Raychak, for setting that up for us. And you've been listening to Dinner Specials with May Pang and Cynthia Nielsen. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.